Welcome to Fact Check Radio, a weekly wrap-up of spin and deception in politics. I'm Lori Robertson, Managing Editor of FactCheck.org.
And I'm Vivica Novak, Fact Check's Deputy Director. This week, we caught Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid exaggerating on Meet the Press, and we heard Republican Senator Rand Paul distorting a well-worn quote by Rahm Emanuel.
But before we get to the senators, Republicans in the House have vowed to repeal the health care law. They had planned to hold a vote on the issue this week, but canceled that after the January 8th shooting in Tucson that targeted Representative Gabrielle Giffords and left six others dead. Next week, however, health care repeal is back on the agenda.
And what have the Republicans said about the law? They have claimed that it kills jobs. In fact, they've named their bill the Repealing the Job-Killing Health Care Law Act. And they've used that language over and over and over again.
Here's Speaker John Boehner at a January 6th press conference.
That's why we're taking these first steps to repeal the job-killing health care law.
He went on to say,
it will continue to destroy jobs in America unless we do something about it.
And also,
I hope the House will act next week to repeal the job-killing health care law.
House Majority Leader Eric Cantor added,
and next week we'll see a resolution to repeal the job-killing Obamacare bill, Obamacare law.
You get the idea.
But is the law really job-killing? We find that to be misleading and an exaggeration.
House Republicans put out a report to back up their claim, and if we could grade it, we'd give it an F. The report first cites the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, but it badly misrepresents what CBO said.
The GOP said that CBO estimated that the law would reduce the amount of labor in the U.S. economy by roughly 0.5%, which is about 650,000 jobs. But what Republicans left out was the part of CBO's analysis that said this would happen primarily because many people would choose to work less or retire early because of the law.
So it's not true that CBO predicted a 650,000 job loss. Instead, CBO predicted a reduction in the labor supply. One reason people will choose to work less is that many low-income workers will have more money as a result of the law expanding Medicaid and providing subsidies to purchase insurance.
Also, because the law requires insurance companies to cover pre-existing conditions and limits the ability to charge more based on a person's age, some older workers will choose to retire earlier rather than hold on to their jobs just for the insurance.
Now, CBO does think some jobs will be lost, but as it said in an earlier report, the effect would be small. The law does require many businesses to pay a penalty if they don't provide insurance to their workers, and those businesses will likely pass the cost along to those employees in the form of lower wages.
And since businesses can only lower wages of low-income workers so much because of the minimum wage, they will likely hire fewer low-wage workers. CBO added that those businesses might hire more part-time or seasonal workers.
Other experts, too, have estimated a small impact on jobs. John Shields, senior vice president of the Lewin Group, told us his analysis showed a loss of 150,000 to 300,000 jobs total. Those are all minimum wage or near minimum wage positions. Shields said he thinks that a lot of economists believe the impact is small, and that's why there aren't many analyses of the effect on jobs.
Also, neither CBO nor the Lewin Group attempted to estimate the number of jobs to be gained in the healthcare and insurance industries. Shields told us he does expect to see job growth in those areas. Altogether, he estimates a small net job loss.
Republicans, by the way, did point to another report to back up their job-killing claims. But that study, conducted by a business group that opposes the law, looked at a hypothetical employer mandate that's not part of the legislation. The study also predicted a gain of 890,000 health care and insurance jobs, a figure not mentioned by the GOP.
Let's move on to another claim about jobs, this time from the Democratic leader in the Senate, Majority Leader Harry Reid. Here he is on Meet the Press, exaggerating job gains in manufacturing.
What do we need to do? We have to make sure that we continue to help the manufacturing base. These job numbers that came out this week, they say that most of the jobs in the private sector created were in the manufacturing sector. That's good.
Actually, that's not at all what the recent job report said. The economy added 113,000 private sector jobs in December, which lowered the unemployment rate from 9.8% to 9.4%. But most of the jobs were created in the leisure and hospitality sector, which gained 47,000 jobs, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and education and health services, which gained 44,000 jobs.
In manufacturing, that sector only added 10,000 jobs. That comes after 2 months of job losses in manufacturing, so it's good news, but not as good as Reid claimed.
He also exaggerated in talking about Tea Party candidates in the midterm election.
I don't think the Tea Party had the vigor and support that people thought it would. There were a couple of them won, but most of them lost.
That's a pretty newsy prediction.
Reid defeated Sharon Angle, who was backed by the Tea Party in the midterms, and he's right in saying that most of the Tea Party candidates lost. According to an NBC analysis, 2/3 of such candidates lost in the election.
But dismissively saying only a couple of them won? That's not true. There were a total of 48 winning Tea Party-backed candidates, 5 in the Senate and 43 in the House.
Finally, there's been plenty of discussion about the tone of political discourse in the wake of the Tucson shootings. Most of this is opinion, but when Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky referred to an old quote from Rahm Emanuel, he distorted the facts. Here's Paul talking with Fox Business host Andrew Napolitano this week.
These are the kind of things that I think some on the left decide and manufacture even before the events occur. I mean, this is part of the playbook of Rahm Emanuel, where they say any crisis should be used to their advantage to further their agenda. So I'm not surprised that they do it. I do think they should be ashamed of themselves for doing it.
But that's not really what Emanuel said. The former chief of staff to Obama was speaking in November 2008 at a Wall Street Journal corporate conference. It was shortly after Obama had won the election, and it was in the midst of the financial crisis. Emanuel said that a crisis presents an opportunity to address long-standing problems, and to do so with input from both parties.
Here's a clip of Emanuel's 2008 remarks. The first quote is the one that's been frequently distorted by conservatives.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. I think America as a whole in 1973 and 1974, not just my view, but obviously the administration, missed the opportunity to deal with the energy crisis that was before us. For a long time, our entire energy...
He went on to say...
And this crisis provides the opportunity for us, as I would say, the opportunity to do things that you could not do before. The good news, I suppose, if you want to see a silver lining, is the problems are big enough that they lend themselves to ideas from both parties for the solution.
And that's it for this episode of Fact Check Radio. In fact, this is goodbye for me. I'll be leaving Fact Check at the end of the month, moving on to other adventures.
And actually, this will be our last podcast for some time. We're taking a hiatus as our offices move to Philadelphia. We hope to be back in a few months, just in time for the presidential campaign to get into swing. Fact Check is a project of the Annenberg Public Policy Center of the University of Pennsylvania. I'm Lori Robertson.
And I'm Vivica Novak. Thanks for listening.